Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. The way this podcast works is very simple. Just pick an episode, press play, and get comfortable in bed. We'll take a moment to relax, and then I or one of my friends will read you a bedtime story designed to gently grasp your attention and guide you to sleep. And remember, the more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So be sure to listen every night on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, so you never miss a good night's rest. Now in tonight's story, Abby will read a variation of the timeless fairy tale, The Little Mermaid. A marine biologist learns to communicate with ocean animals and makes a magical discovery. We continue to be amazed by all your really lovely reviews and feedback that you've been sending us, and hopefully you are finding that listening to this podcast is making bedtime a more relaxing and comfortable experience. We designed Get Sleepy to be a peaceful and safe place to rest your thoughts, so you can ease off to dreamland without a worry. But what you're sleeping on can be just as important too. I've slept, or at least tried to sleep, on some pretty terrible mattresses from time to time in my life. Some so bad I wondered if I'd wake up with some spring indents in my back in the morning. But luckily I have a really comfy mattress at home nowadays, and it does make such a difference in aiding a good night's sleep. It can be tricky to know what type of mattress would suit you best, and that's why it's so great that our friends at Helix Sleep make it easy to find the best mattress for you. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. By answering some simple questions, like your preferred sleeping position and temperature, Helix will match you to one of their amazing, best-selling mattresses. I took the quiz myself and was recommended the Midnight Mattress. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2019 and 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. And there are tons of great reviews and testimonials which prove just how effective these mattresses are. Helix has a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights, risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but quite honestly, I know you will. And right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our Get Sleepy listeners. Just go to helixsleep.com/getsleepy. That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/getsleepy for up to $200 off. If you feel like your mattress could do with an upgrade, then it's definitely the perfect time to make that change. Now, wherever you are, I hope you're feeling comfortable and relaxed as you lay in your bed. Before we begin, just take some time to slow down. Take in some deep breaths, letting your body and mind relax. Seeing as tonight's story is all about the ocean, think of the rhythm of your breath as gentle waves rippling over the surface of the water. Feel the rise and fall of your chest as that wave-like motion slowly sweeps across your whole body. Just like how floating on calm waters seems to remove all of your worries, your breath removes any tension in your body or lingering thoughts in your mind. The sun is warm on your skin. the sky is clear above, and you can just ease into a state of sleepiness. And it's here where we turn to the subject of our story, Alan. He's at his favourite place, the ocean.
Once upon a time, there lived a man named Alan. His eyes were deep and kind. His heart was as pure as mountain snow. Alan loved nature, and he felt particularly called to the ocean. He could spend hours listening to the whoosh of the waves and investigating what lives beneath the surface. As a young man, he learned to scuba dive and quickly found a lifelong obsession. The ocean had so many unknowns, so many things to discover. Mesmerized by its mystery, Alan dedicated his life to studying marine life. From microscopic creatures to the massive blue whale, Alan wanted to understand it all. Life undersea was incredibly diverse. With every dive, he made a discovery. Even if he didn't spot a new plant or animal, he would learn something new, like how the currents affect migration cycles or how the sun affects the organization of life underwater. He grew increasingly more curious. In the abyss, he'd seen the most marvelous trees and plants, with pliant trunks and vibrant colours. Watching their stems and leaves gave life to the ocean current. They moved with the water as if they were dancing. Fish, big and small, swam in this kingdom as freely as the birds up in the air. His eyes would grow bigger every time he came across a new type of coral. His heart would beat faster at the sight of a new species of fish. For Alan, being underwater was not only interesting because of his research. For him, diving the blue waters of the ocean was a truly immersive experience. He would forget about time, forget about normal life, and lose himself in this other world. He loved how moving in water felt different than moving in air. It had a different texture, a different consistency. Swimming became second nature to him. When he wasn't studying the ocean, Alan was busy inventing. His first invention was an underwater monitoring device. It captured magnificent images and told him about underwater changes without having to dive. It was particularly useful with sensitive species that were shy to humans. Another invention helped him track marine mammals. And so he studied the behaviour of dolphins, whales and seals. Alan found marine mammals particularly interesting. Like humans, they use sounds to communicate, to find food and to navigate. He felt a special connection to these species. When he listened to recordings capturing their underwater sounds, he would imagine what they were about. A whale's song might be a lullaby sung by a mother to her child. The dolphin's click was like a warm greeting given to an old friend. He decided to invent something that would decipher their sounds and hopefully allow him to communicate back to them. He worked on it day and night, smiling and hoping. He tried different techniques and built different contraptions. Some of them would work in one way but not another. Some wouldn't work at all. But he didn't get frustrated because he was fascinated. He found it fun and exciting. No matter how difficult it was, Alan would not give up. If successful, he would understand their language and maybe one day communicate with them. It would be a real treasure. It would help answer so many questions about the ocean world. With confidence in his eyes and a belief as strong as steel, he kept looking for a solution. Eventually, he boarded his boat holding a device not bigger than a conch shell. He had his invention. Now, he needed to test whether it worked. He took his boat and sailed far out to sea. On the surface, the ocean was dark and still, but there was so much activity underwater. At first, he tested his device with friendly bottlenose dolphins. Their clicks were just as cheerful as usual, and there was nothing he hadn't heard before. Then he tested his invention with whales, but their moans were still the sounds of a foreign language. The next night, Alan sailed farther than ever before. The silver moon reflected on the ocean in a perfect circle. It was shining over a quiet night when even the breeze felt sleepy. Alan laid on the deck of his boat, counting the stars. The waves were gently rocking the boat back and forth. He listened to his device for hours, soaking up the sounds of the ocean. His eyelids grew heavy, so he let them close. He was just using his ears anyway. His breathing began to slow, mirroring the rhythmic ebb and flow of the waves. and he began to drift off to sleep. He started to hear a beautiful song, one like he'd never heard before. He thought it might be in a dream. When he opened his eyes, he realized that it was coming from his device. The voice was soft and soothing and sounded more beautiful than any human's. The words were clear, and he could easily understand that they were singing about the moon. Alan was delighted to find that his device was working, though he wasn't quite sure how. He didn't know what he was listening to. One thing was striking, though. The voice resembled that of a young woman. Despite all his knowledge of the sea, Alan was stumped. He wondered whether his device was broken, but it seemed to be operating properly. Was it a mermaid, he wondered? It was the only thing that made sense. Legends confirmed their charming voices, and that they would rise up out of the sea at full moon. What an exciting discovery it would be, he thought. Until now, they were just creatures of fantasy. He peered over the edge of his boat into the ocean, but it was too dark to see what swam beneath. He needed to rely on sound, so he decided to use his device and check whether she also understood him. For a few seconds, he sat still, thinking about what to say. What does one say when communicating with a different creature for the first time? Because this creature sang a song, Alan decided to sing his own. He chose one of his favourites, a lullaby that parents would sing before bedtime. His voice sounded different using his invention, but it was still deep, smooth, and positive. After a few seconds of singing, he stopped and listened carefully. There was no movement, no air, just silence in the night. But as he waited, he noticed a shadow approaching in the water. At first, he thought it might be a dream, a display of his wishes. He pinched himself a couple of times to be sure he was awake. Something was moving, and it was getting closer. Then, a pair of eyes peeped curiously above the water. In the pale moonlight, he realized that he was looking at the face of a young woman with fiery red hair. "Hello," Alan said in his human voice, forgetting all about his invention. Breaking the silence, his voice sounded sharp. She disappeared quickly underwater before he could say anything else. Alan waited and waited, but she didn't come back. He had so many questions. When the sun came up, he hadn't moved an inch. She must have been scared when she couldn't understand him. Or maybe She was surprised that she could understand him in the first place. Alan headed back to shore, trying to make sense of everything. He dug into books and anything else he could find about merpeople. He learned that they showed themselves at night time when the moon reached its fullest phase. A mixture between mammal and fish, merpeople were a real mystery, so different than anything else Alan had studied. They had a strong fish tail and could both regulate body heat and breathe underwater. Merpeople were believed to live up to 300 years, and while details were vague, some studies referred to the existence of an underwater society. The mermaid with red flowing hair lingered in his thoughts. Her voice sounded softer and much more enchanting than any human's. Her eyes spoke of the depths of the sea. After some rest, he would resume his research, this time focusing on speaking to that mermaid. Curious to find out more, Alan sailed to the same spot, hoping that he would meet her again. Night after night he waited, prepared for a conversation. He was particularly hopeful at nights with a full moon, but 3 months went by and she never showed. Just like with his inventions, Alan was patient and continued believing. One warm summer night, he sat on the deck of his boat, listening to the ocean sounds through his invention. As a bright star fell across the dark sky, Alan wished that he would see the mermaid once more. Just then, he heard a voice starting to sing. It was so lovely, so calm. The lyrics spoke of curiosity, about wanting to learn about the world above the ocean. They also spoke of a human who for a few moments sang in a merman's voice. Encouraged, Alan used his invention and started speaking slowly. His voice, distorted, told her his name, that he was not there to harm her. He was curious about her world as well. He paused for some time and waited. His eyes peered in the water, his heart hopeful as always. A shadow in the water approached his boat, and the pretty little mermaid with fiery red hair rose above the surface. He could see that she was shy, but overcome by curiosity. "I'm Ariel," she spoke in a gentle voice. Alan told her about his job and how his new invention allowed them to communicate. He talked about his love for the ocean and that all he ever wanted was to learn more about it. Feeling his kindness, Ariel started telling him about her life. She had 5 older sisters, and her father was Sea King. They lived in a kingdom of merpeople. They spent hours talking. Ariel asked about the land, so Alan explained the animals living in the forests, the snow in the mountains, and the cities which looked busy even from afar. She was curious how people moved, lived, and enjoyed their lives without a fishtail. What was foreign to her, Alan knew all too well. In return, she told him about the Sea King's palace, with walls made of coral and windows of the clearest amber. He learned about her best friends, a yellow and blue tropical fish, and a small but stylish red crab. The night was slowly fading. At dawn, Alan and Ariel needed to say goodbye. They smiled and decided to meet again at the next full moon. She swam into the depths of the ocean, and he steered his boat back to mainland. It was an unlikely but happy friendship. The more they talked, the closer together they grew. Alan created a waterproof photo album. He chose pictures from hiking through forests and mountains, travelling to his favourite cities and other things dear to him. He showed Ariel his tiny house, his goofy but sweet dog, and his loving family. Since she didn't have any pictures, Ariel told Alan about the palace's garden, her weeping willow tree, and the white marble statue that reminded her of his world. After 6 months of talking and learning from each other, Ariel invited him to meet her family and friends. It was full moon again, a peaceful night when the world on land was asleep. Diving into the ocean, Alan knew that their communication would stop. He needed oxygen and was no longer able to use his invention. Still, he was excited to experience the beautiful kingdom she had told him so much about. On hearing her voice, Alan knew that it was time to dive. Ariel laughed at his tight scuba suit, which made him look like a seal. A pair of blue and yellow fins transformed his legs into small, rigid tails. What an unusual fish, she thought. Once in the water, he was silenced, but she could read in his eyes how happy he was. She smiled and pointed in the direction of her home. He smiled back and allowed the mermaid to lead the way. They dove very deep, deeper than Alan had been before. While swimming, Alan remembered the first time he'd seen the ocean, the first time he went diving, and how he'd studied to become a marine biologist, and lastly, how he pursued his dream and found a way to communicate with the underwater world. All of that had led him here. His life was built around the ocean, but still his eyes filled with marvel. It was as if he was seeing the ocean for the first time. they reached a thick forest of kelp. Knowing the way, Ariel took Alan's hand to guide him through it. When they emerged on the other side, an underwater kingdom appeared. Alan barely believed what he saw. There were homes among the coral and caves. There were paths by which the swimming traffic was directed. And in the middle of everything stood a massive palace. He saw mermaids and mermen of different ages, shapes, colours and sizes. Word spread quickly, and they all gathered around the palace to meet him, their human guest. Their fish tails had scales in all the colours of the rainbow, and their faces seemed prettier than those of the humans on land. Young ones swam playfully, forming circles around him. They seemed to giggle at his unusual appearance, just like Ariel did when she first saw his diving suit. No matter how different he was, though, the merpeople welcomed him dearly, curious to find out more about his world. They swam to a large garden, and Alan saw Ariel's favourite flower plot, where she'd collected some of her favourite plants from across the ocean. He met Ariel's older sisters and her loving best friends. It was a colourful world where every creature smiled and was happy to see him. They swam towards the centre of the kingdom, where the Sea King's palace stood. It looked just as Ariel had described it. Walls of pink coral, the roof made of glossy mussel shells, organised into decorative patterns. He followed her slowly, admiring the palace's rooms, where living flowers grew out of the walls. She took him to the great hall. To him, this looked more magnificent than anything he'd seen on earth. The great hall had an arched roof like a dome. Hundreds of mussels stood in rows and paved the way to the Sea King's throne. This was a sight of stunning beauty, which shone dark green like the finest emerald. Sitting on the throne was Ariel's father, a merman with a long white beard. He wore a sparkling crown and held a golden trident. The Sea King approached them happily and bowed in a kind gesture. Ariel introduced Alan. She told her father about his kind heart, his inventions that helped the ocean, and how he wanted to learn more about their world. Appreciating his good intentions and seeing how Ariel trusted her friend, the Sea King decided Alan should be rewarded. He was an ambassador for all ocean life, even though he did not belong to the ocean. The Sea King's trident had magical powers. He smiled kindly and raised his trident. Alan knew that something special was about to happen. the trident began to glow. It shone brighter and brighter. He then lowered it and touched Alan's chest. Alan felt his body change, but at first he wasn't quite sure how. Without thinking, he turned to Ariel and asked what happened. It was then that he realized he could remove his oxygen tank. He could now breathe and speak underwater like a creature of the sea. He could live in both worlds. Able to use his voice, Alan thanked the Sea King for his kindness. He promised to share his knowledge of the human world and to help merpeople in any way possible. It was a genuine love of the ocean that got him here, and he would continue following that passion to help the world. The three sat and talked about the world separated by the surface of the water, how they were not so different after all. They continued showing Alan around the kingdom and taught him things about water that you'd only know if you lived in it. When Alan left the underwater kingdom, he felt blessed, like this was the start of a new adventure, like his own research was only beginning to get good. When he reached the surface, it was still nighttime. He climbed onto his boat and put away his scuba gear, which he no longer needed. The excitement of his adventure began to wear off, and he realized how tired he was. He had done quite a bit of swimming. He took a moment to rest and laid on the deck of his boat, looking up at the stars. The waves gently rocked his boat back and forth. He couldn't have been more thankful for this experience, for the Sea King's gift, for the welcoming mer people, for Ariel's friendship, and for the opportunity to return to the Sea Kingdom and share his love of the ocean with others. This sense of gratitude filled his body. His eyes grew heavy while laying on the boat, so he allowed them to close and drifted off to sleep.